Molly, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us today. I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about when you started tracking the number of deaths occurring in Juarez and why you decided to do that.
I really started around March or April of 2008, doing it where I was actually writing things down almost on a daily basis. In January of 2008, I believe about 48 people were killed, more than one person per day. And then February, I think, was about the same. And then in March, the numbers exploded to, I believe the number in March 2008 was 117, which seemed incredible for 1 month. I mean, that's more than three people per day. The numbers of people murdered just kept going up and up. I believe the highest monthly total in 2008 was in August, and it was about 230 or something of that sort, something that had never been seen before. The year ended with over 1,600 people killed, which was more than five times the number of people killed in Juarez in any year for which we had any records. And so this is an extraordinary thing. I mean, it's extraordinary in terms of Juarez itself and Mexico, but it's also extraordinary in terms of just the demographics of violence, of murder in any place in the world. Or the numbers of people murdered continued to rise. And there were several months in 2009 when over 300 people were murdered in a month. And the same thing has continued in 2010. As you know, the number of people killed in Juarez topped 3,000 in 1 year, last week sometime. So the idea of more than 3,000 people being murdered in a single year is rather extraordinary. I mean, that averages more than 10 people per day. It's just an extraordinary phenomena. It's a terrible phenomena, but I think it needs to be closely studied. And the only way to really study it, to even begin studying it, is to try to keep a more or less accurate figure of the number.
How do you keep an accurate track of the number of deaths that happen?
I don't claim that it's exact. But I basically do it from press accounts. There are other ways to do it through reports that come from the Attorney General's office in Juarez. And actually, the newspapers get most of their numbers from the periodic reports that come from the Attorney General's office for the state of Chihuahua based in Juarez. And so that is the way they do it, and then I just follow the press accounts and what's published and try to keep a tally.
So what was the murder rate before 2008 in Juarez?
Especially if you go back into the 1990s and look at the numbers for the deaths in Juarez from murder, which are generally, they generally range between about 150 to 300 over the course of about 15 years. Prior to going back all the way to 1993 up to 2007. 2007 had about 300, which was the highest ever reported until 2008.
What do you think we can learn from studying these numbers?
What we need to do is consider bigger social issues, social factors, demographic factors, apart from the standard explanation that this is a cartel war. Because many of the people that are killed are, it would be very, very difficult to place those people within some sort of membership in an organization that could be called a drug cartel. Many of them are very young people, young men mostly, between the ages of, say, 15 and 20. And while they may indeed be selling drugs or doing some sort of street work related to the drug business that puts them in a violent situation. They may be gang members, which of course is a very violent lifestyle. But you have to look at what are the social conditions that put these young men into this situation. And one of the social conditions in Juarez is that very few young people have the opportunity to go to high school. Once they graduate from elementary school when they're about 13 or 14 years old, they don't have access to public high school. And so they end up on the street. They don't have access to jobs either. The number of jobs available for young people in Juarez has really dwindled over the last few years, mainly because of the downturn in the maquiladora industry that's based on the downturn in the worldwide economy, and especially the U.S. economy. And so there are just very few opportunities. Also, another thing that I believe is part of the violence in Juarez is the fact that for several generations now, the export industries, the maquiladora industry, has been essentially the foundation of the formal economy in Juarez, the legal economy. And most of the people that work in factories, in maquiladora factories, do not earn a living wage. And so what you often have is a family where every person who's old enough or can pretend to be old enough to get a job will be working, meaning mother, father, teenage children will all be working a shift in a maquiladora. And so younger children are often raised in a home that has no adults. Because, when one adult is not working, they're probably sleeping. And so a lot of children go straight from school to the street. And they lack the kind of family structure that is so important, you know, to raising children. And it's even more important to raising children in a city like Juarez, where that is poverty, that is, you know, a very poor city, and there's a lack of social infrastructure. The only real social infrastructure in many cities in developing countries, poor countries, third world countries, call them whatever you wish, is the family. That's what keeps the social structure together. If you create an economic situation that works against the family structure, which I believe is what the maquiladora system has done in Juarez, you end up with a lot of children being raised with very little parenting. What I want to do eventually is create a database that will allow us to actually see who the murder victims are. Because if you can really look at the murder victims with their names, their ages, how they died, what kind of car they were driving, all these details are available, then you could counter the argument or the pronouncements made by people like the president of Mexico, Calderon, and echoed by many people in the U.S. government and in the press, that 90% of the people killed are criminals, because there's no evidence that they're criminals. The data, who these people actually are, how and when they died, just that simple data will be a very important element of truth in the future if and when this terrible phenomena ceases and we can actually look and say what happened in Juarez.
From your perspective, why is it so important for reporters to get these numbers right?
I don't see any reason why the numbers reported in major U.S. newspapers should be 200 under-reported. The point is, if I can do this, why can't other major newspapers in the United States do it? It's not that difficult. I think they owe it to both their readers here in the United States that are concerned about this issue, and they certainly owe it to the people of Mexico and the people of Juarez to do an accurate job of reporting this terrible violence, because these are people's lives. Without having that basic number of how many people actually died yesterday, then I think we're missing the most basic thing about this violence.
What do you see for 2011? Is there any hope, you think, for some decrease in the amount of violence that's happening in Juarez?
I don't think that it'll change that much in 2011. I'd like to think maybe going over this, 3,000 barrier, this 3,000 number, will shock people into doing something. But we've passed these barriers before, and it hasn't changed. It's only continued to go up. I also don't see any short-term possibility that things will improve drastically in Juarez. For one thing, the city has to deal with all of the residuals of this violence, meaning orphaned children, families that are even more destroyed, families that have lost one or two breadwinners, in the case of, even if these people were, you know, making money by selling drugs or doing some other criminal activity, once they're dead, who takes care of the remaining members of the family? Who earns the money? It's not like a grandmother can just go out and get a job in a maquiladora and, you know, feed her grandchildren that have been orphaned. What economic substitute for the earnings that are lost now to those families will there be? The only possibility I can see is that someone else in the family gets involved in the business, in the drug business, and starts to bring home money again. And so that just brings more violence, because this kind of economy is not going to ever be a peaceful one. So no, I'm pretty pessimistic. I don't think we're going to see drastic improvements in the near future. I don't think that you can destroy the basic building blocks of the society. And in Mexico, that is the family. You can't destroy that at the level it's being destroyed in a place like Juarez and expect that people are just going to, you know, all of a sudden turn peaceful.